Hi, my name is Shauna Burt. I've been coming to The Rock since 2005. At that time, I was LDS, and my friend Chris invited me to come to church with him. I agreed to come because I thought I would get him to come with me to my church, and he would become LDS like me. Little did I know that God had other plans for me. When I first came in, I thought it was a little different from what I was used to. And Pastor Bill was speaking on Galatians, and he spoke on Galatians 1:8, and it was like the scales just fell off my eyes, and I knew that I was believing a different gospel than the one that they preached. So it took a while from that point for me to be saved, but eventually I came to the Lord, and it's changed my life ever since. So my son and I started coming all the time. We just loved it. We couldn't get enough. And eventually, I ended up marrying the guy who asked me to church, and he's now my husband for 14 years. And after we got married, we started getting plugged in. We made friends. We were serving. We got to see the hands and feet of Jesus. And this church has just meant so much to us. I'm so glad that Chris invited me to church that day. I cannot imagine what my life would be like without Jesus. And it's that simple. You just need to invite someone and Jesus will do the rest. My story is living proof that The Rock is about winning the lost.
You know, Shauna's story is not unlike thousands of other stories that could be told whose lives have been changed. Many of you right here in the audience tonight, whose lives have been changed by Jesus through the ministry and the lives of the people at The Rock Church. Thousands, I'm not exaggerating. And there's going to be thousands more, God willing. And here's the deal. That didn't just happen by chance. It was very intentional. And it is very intentional. We have a vision and a mission to win people to Christ in this church. There are a gazillion other things we could focus on. We could focus on the thing that matters the most to you. And maybe we are. But one thing I do know, we're doing what God's called us to do. And we're sticking with that. So, we're talking about win. We have a three-part win, build, send series. That's our mission statement. I'll get to it in a second. Win, build, send. Tonight I'm talking about win. My title is A Mission That Matters. We all have missions. Does your mission matter? Is it important? In other words, what are you living for? What are you giving your life to? Does it matter? Is it your 401k? More money? More gold? Is it that guy? Is it that girl? Is it that perfect job? Is it the elusive, I just want to be happy? What is it you're living for? All those things fall way too short. Way too short compared to what God has for you and I. You see, God's given us a mission. If you're wondering, what am I supposed to be doing tonight? We're going to talk about that. God has a mission for you and a mission for me. We've been doing it here for 21 years. It's a mission you can join us on. I hope you do. It's reminded me as I was preparing of a story of a guy, true story of a guy who had his own little mission. His mission was to get airborne. To fly, but he couldn't have a pilot's license, so he did what you and I would do. He bought 45 weather balloons, 8 foot in diameter, filled them with helium. His girlfriend and him went and got helium, filled them up. This is Larry Walters on a July 2nd, 1982, in the suburbs of Los Angeles, in his little neighborhood. They're having a barbecue. I'm going to need a mic. Our sound guy's missing. In the neighborhood of Los Angeles, they hooked up and tethered all these 45 weather balloons together to a lawn chair, and Larry put on a parachute. Thank you, Caleb. He put on a parachute. He also took a pellet gun because he was thinking a little bit. Now, how am I going to get down? He took a pellet gun. Took a CB radio. This is true. You can go look it up. He got packed some peanut butter jelly sandwiches, a six-pack of beer, packed it all together, And his neighbors were all drinking, watching them eating their barbecue, like, this is going to be awesome. And at some point, Larry was strapped in right there. There you see him. And he told his neighbors and his girlfriend, cut the rope, which they gladly did. Now, Larry didn't just go up 10 feet and float around his neighborhood. He didn't even go up 50 feet or 100 feet. He shot up to 16,000 feet instantly. In fact, we're told that there are two DC-10 pilots, Continental pilots, who reported seeing a man in a lawn chair floating by their plane. He knew he was in trouble. He knew he was in trouble because he knew that he was in restricted airspace over LAX, and he was going out to sea really quick. So, again, thinking quickly, he started shooting balloons, and it actually started working. He shot a few before he dropped his gun. This is true. You could read about it. Dropped his gun, but he had shot enough that he slowly started descending. He just finally got down to the ground where he got tangled up in power lines where it shut off the power for a whole city for hours. He was dangling there. They finally got him down. As soon as they got him down, the police came and arrested him, put him in handcuffs, and there were reporters there by that. And those are actual pictures of him. And the reporters wanted to know something. They started shouting questions as they were taking him to the police car. Some of the reporters shouted, Larry! Larry, were you scared? And Larry turned around and went, yes! Larry, would you do it again? No! And then they asked the question they were all wondering. Larry, why did you do it? And the answer he gave has changed my life. This is what he told the reporter. Why did you do it? He said, well, you can't just sit there. And men and women, when it comes to the mission God has given you and I, you can't just sit there. And I can't just sit here. We got to do something. Amen? God has given us a mission. And it's a mission that matters. I like what motivational speaker Zig Ziglar said. Outstanding people have one thing in common, an absolute sense of mission. They know where they're going. They know why they're going there. Do you know where you're going? What are you living for? What are you living for? At The Rock, we know where we're going. Our vision, the big picture, what? What is it we're all about here at The Rock? That's our vision statement. We've had it for 21 years. One life at a time, one world in a lifetime. So a little secret, if you're new at The Rock Church, here's a little secret for you. We are on world conquest here at The Rock Church in Draper, Utah. We are out to reach the whole world with the love of Christ, to tell everyone that their life can be radically changed because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We want everyone to know in the whole world. We do it one life at a time. And then one world in our lifetime. And our mission, that's the how. So vision is what we're going to do. Mission is how. We're going to do it by winning the lost, building the believer, and sending the sanctified. That's how we're going to do it. And this is where our series comes from. Could you say that with me out loud, the mission statement on three? Ready? One, two, three. Win the lost, build the believer, send the sanctified. And I'm going to talk about winning the lost. Winning people who don't know Christ yet. You know, don't be offended if you think, I'm not sure if I'm a lost person or not. That's nothing to be ashamed of. The problem is not being lost. As a Boy Scout leader for many years, the problem is not being lost. The problem is not knowing you're lost. And more people that I talk to than not think that they're not lost. They think they're saved. They think they're okay. They think they're going to heaven. But they're lost. And we are out to win them, to tell them about Jesus, to help them give them an opportunity to receive Christ, to repent and turn to Christ in faith. So tonight, what I want to look at are three keys to fulfilling a mission that matters. A mission that matters. A mission that God has given us. So we're going to jump right in to these three things. So the way I'm going to attack it is this. I'm going to talk about this mission by what is it? What is our mission, number one? Number two, why do we go on mission? And number three, how do we do it? So what it is, why we do it, and how we do it, all right? Here's the first point. You have blanks in your handout.
in your program. Pull them out, fill out the blanks. There's discussion questions as well. So here is the what, our mission. Our mission, men and women, as Christians, as believers, as born-again, Bible-believing Christians, is to tell people. That's our mission. You say, tell people what? And I say, I'm so glad you asked. We tell people about Jesus. That's our mission. That's very simplistic. Of course, we tell people about Jesus. That's your mission. And that's my mission. You know, I had Mormon missionaries over years ago to my house before I moved out to Utah because I needed to find out about Mormonism. I thought, who better than the missionaries? So I invite them to my house. And we spent months, literally. They'd come over for dinner. We'd love on them. We'd have fun. We'd laugh a lot. We'd have fun. And they would take me through their lessons, and they'd let me ask any question because I knew I wasn't going to get mad at them. I just told them, hey, I'm going to Utah to convert a bunch of Mormons, and I need to know what they believe. And they said, well, we're trying to convert you. And I said, well, I'm trying to convert you. We said, great, come on over. So I learned all about it from their lessons. And I love those guys. We had a lot of fun. But one night at dinner, they were showing us they had a little pocket-sized card that had some writing on it, and they set it down. And I looked and said, what is that? Well, it was their daily schedule, every day, what they did, basically. And generally speaking, the time that they did it. And one of them said, O-Y-M. And I said, what is that? And they looked at it and said, oh, that's when we go out in the street or we just walk around parks and just talk to people, just get conversation. I said, well, what does O-Y-M mean? It means open your mouth. So they had 2 hours blocked out where they just walked around, opened their mouths, just talked to people about what they believe. You and I have been given a job to O-Y-M about Jesus. The Bible tells us very clearly, here's our mandate. One of our mandates, Romans 10, 13 through 14. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But who can ask unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard of him, about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? It seems like a simplistic question, but how can people hear about Christ unless somebody tells them? If you're a believer today, somebody most likely told you about Jesus. They loved you enough to open their mouth and tell you about Jesus or invite you to church. Not too many of us just pick up the Bible and go, I'm going to read this and I'm going to find out how to become a Christian. Usually people are involved. I remember the first time I heard the gospel, it came about from my fifth grade teacher in public school. Can you see where I'm at there? Anybody see it? On the right front, second from the right to the left. Mrs. Cooper was my fifth grade teacher, and this tells you how different things are today. Mrs. Cooper invited the whole class to her Assembly of God church to hear the gospel. And a few of us went, and she picked us up and took us to church. I'll never forget it. It was fairly close to my house, and I never went to church growing up. And I like Mrs. Cooper. I said, I'll go check this out. And in the service, I'll never forget, the guy shared the gospel, and he had an altar call, and he invited people to come forward. And I felt like somebody was pushing on my back, like, go up front. I was like, no, I don't want. I was sweating. I'll never forget the feeling. I remember looking at the guy thinking, I'm not going to go up there. I'm embarrassed. Mrs. Cooper may leave without me. I'm not sure. I'm not going to go do this. I was insecure. But God had spoken to my heart, had touched me. I'll never forget that. By the way, one of these guys is in prison right now, one of my fifth grade buddies. I won't tell you who it is, but he's in the front row and he has glasses, okay? Anyway, he's in prison right now. No kidding. He is in prison. So there I am. Mrs. Cooper loved me enough to share about Jesus and have me come to church. She loved me enough to open her mouth. See, we need to not only tell them about Jesus, we need to tell them like a witness. In other words, the Bible says, you will be my witnesses. That's how we should share with people. You say, I'm not a very good evangelist. I'm kind of a private person, Bill. That's not me. I'm just kind of quiet. My faith is real personable, and I just keep it to myself. Well, then you're not a very good witness. What would happen if you sat on a witness stand and you told the judge, Judge, I was at the murder scene. I saw everything, but I'm kind of a personal person, and I'm kind of shy. And this is just about, I saw what I saw. I'm just going to keep it to myself. You would go to jail. You would. We're called to be witnesses, and a witness simply tells what they've seen, heard, or experienced. That's all the witness is. God says you're a witness to Jesus. If you are a born-again, Bible-believing Christian on your way to heaven, then you know how and what to tell someone else who needs what you have. You should be able to tell them. If you cannot articulate the simple message of the gospel, and I'm being very serious here, if you're unable to articulate it, you need to question whether you're even a believer. How can you be a believer in Christ if you don't know how to become a believer in Christ? So if you are a believer, then you have enough just to simply say, this is how I became a Christian. That's all it means to be a witness. It's not some memorized one or two sentences. This is, I'm going to witness to you. This is my witness. No, this is how God changed my life. Okay? I finally became a Christian. Yes, this is like 40 years ago, I think. This is my first Christian household about a year and a half after I got saved at Iowa State University. And the guy on the right there, he's the one that led me to Christ. Scott Rachi led me to Christ. He loved me. He lived his life in front of me. He prayed for me. He pursued me. He shared the gospel with me. But more than that, he just lived the Christian life in joy in front of me. And it just caught my heart. I prayed to receive Christ in the dorm room that we were living in by myself on my bed at night. The next morning, I mentioned it to Scott that, hey, I prayed to receive Christ last night on my bed. He said, let's do it again. So we got chairs out, and he led me through a sinner's prayer. And I kid you not, the first words I said after I prayed with Scott, I looked up at him and I said, I don't have to tell anybody else about this, do I? You see what's happening there? I was embarrassed that I was going to have to go out and share this, be a witness. So I understand the feeling if you're not confident in your Christian witness. But the ironic thing is I asked God to change that, and over the years I've led literally hundreds and hundreds of people to Christ. Scott loved me enough to be a witness. I like what one person said, that a non-witnessing Christian is a contradiction. I'll explain that in a second, in this next point. So, our what is to tell people. We tell them about Jesus, we tell them like a witness, and then we tell them as commanded. In other words, this is not optional, Christian. This is a command from our Lord, Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go. He's talking to you and me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. This is a command to go and to baptize and to witness and to win people to Christ, and then teach them everything you know, which part of that is to go. So as you see people saved and baptized, you teach them to go. That's the third part of our mission statement, to send the sanctified. So it's a process. We're talking about win tonight, and it's a command. I often think of it this way, is that us on mission, telling people about Jesus is our real job. For me, that's my real job. I think it's all Christians' real job. Your employment simply pays the bills for your real job, which is to tell others about Jesus. That's what God wants you to do. That's what he's called us to do over and over. This is just one example. You say, I don't know if that's true. Well, let me just give it to you this way. If you had the cure to cancer, somehow you figured it out, the secret had been given to you, and you knew how to cure people's cancer, would it be right for you to keep that to yourself, even if you were a private person? Would it? Shake your head no, because I want to make sure you're listening to me. The answer is no, it would not be right. In fact, it would be downright criminal, in my opinion, for you to withhold that information for whatever reason. Now, I want to tell you something. Cancer is bad, but spending eternity in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever is a lot worse. And guess what? You have the cure. You know what it is, Christian, and so do I. Could it be downright criminal for us not to be speaking to people about this? I don't care how shy you are. I don't care how shy you are. We need to be opening our mouths and speaking truth to people. Here's a guy that did that. True story about John Harper. You may have heard about him. He was a pastor coming from England to take over D.L. Moody's church in Chicago. He was going to take the pastorate. He was on the Titanic. He died on the Titanic. But when he was on there, when the ship started sinking, he had a six-year-old daughter. He was a widower. He had a six-year-old daughter. He took her to a boat, and a survival boat, and he put her in her, and she survived, and everybody told him, listen, you should get on too, because the rules of engagement on a ship like that, women and children, people who were widowers and had children were welcome on the lifeboats. He handed his daughter over, kissed her, and said, there's people that I need to talk to that are going to hell tonight. He literally kissed his daughter, went back on that Titanic. There's been books written about this. There's a movie about this. Went back on that Titanic, and he started telling people this. Everybody he'd see, he'd say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. There are many, many, many stories of survivors that talk about how John Harper came to them and said these very words. And he tried to lead people to Christ because he believed he had the cure to cancer. And he knew that some of these people were going to die within the hour. And the only thing he cared about was telling them about Jesus, even at the expense of his own life. When the boat went down, there are many, many stories of people who said that John Harper was swimming, fighting hypothermia, swimming up to people and say, are you a Christian? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus? And some people put him off. Other people thought about it. One man says, I put him off two times. And after the second time, I was clinging to wood or something in the ship, and John Harper took off his life vest and said, you need this more than I do. Because he knew he was going to go to hell if he didn't repent, and he hadn't repented yet. He went to another woman who testifies that she was the last convert of John Harper. He swam up to her and said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. And then she saw him drown. And later she became a Christian. This guy believed that what he had was so important that he would die for it and try to take people with him to heaven. We are commanded to open our mouth and tell people about Jesus. Number two, that's the what. The why, our motivation is love. Not only our love, but more than that, God's love for people. Why do we do that? Why would John Harper do that? Because he loved people. He is imitating his Savior. And let's just look at this. Loving God means loving people. The Bible is very clear about that. In 1 John 4:20, it says, if anyone says, I love God, I love the Savior, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. He's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Our motive is love, and loving God means loving people. Do you love God? Then you should love people. If you don't love people, there's a chance you don't love God, according to the Scripture. Not only that, loving God means caring if people go to hell. You can't love God and not care about people's eternal destiny. You just can't do it. 2 Peter 3:9, Peter tells us the Lord is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but wants everyone to come to him. Listen, everyone matters to God. He cares and loves everyone he has created. And then 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ compels us or constrains us or urges us to do what? To tell people about Jesus. The love of Christ. When you understand how much God has done for you, then you want to go share it with other people. There's just no doubt about it. That's what it means. You know, a few years ago, someone turned me onto this video. I just put it up here so you could write this down. I don't have time to show the whole thing. I can't show any of it. I'm just going to tell you about it. Go on and look this up in YouTube. Penn Jillette, Gift of the Bible, and you'll find a video. Watch it. And what it is Penn Jillette is Penn and Teller, the magic show in Las Vegas. The big guy is Penn Jillette. And he, after a show, went back and did a video blog of himself because he was so, if you watch it, I think he's shaken. He is so blown away because he just got done doing a big show in Las Vegas. What happened was after the show, when he was greeting people, a Christian walked up to him, complimented him on his show, genuinely complimented him, and then witnessed to him. What you need to understand about Penn Jillette is he is the world's most renowned atheist. He does not believe in God. In fact, his magic show is to help prove there's no God. It helps him argue against God because he shows it's just smoke and mirrors. God's not real. He does not believe in God at all. So a Christian walks up to him after the show, hands him a New Testament Bible, a little Gideon's Bible, and tells him, I'm a Christian, and I'm proselytizing you. Just tells him up front. And you should see his, he's talking, he's telling the story, and he goes, and he says this, I'll cut it short. He says, you know what? I don't believe in God. But this guy was sincere. And in fact, here's the deal. I have zero respect for any Christian that claims they know the way to heaven, but they don't share their faith. That's what this atheist said. Zero respect for a Christian that doesn't share their faith. He goes, yeah, this guy may have been a little kooky, but I respect him. And this is why he said it. Look, don't miss what he says here. He said, how much would you have to hate someone not to tell them about Jesus if you knew they're going to hell and you could stop them? How much would you have to hate them just to let them go? An atheist just reproved a bunch of you guys. We got to love people the way God does. Loving God also means sharing the good news with everyone. Again, we've seen this. In Mark 16, it says, proclaim the good news to everyone everywhere. This is Jesus speaking to you and to me. Proclaim the good news. We got to go do that. Where? Everywhere to everyone. Does that mean people at work? Yeah. People at your school? Mm-hmm. Your family members? Oh, yeah. Oh, but they're not going to like it. Yeah, I know they're not going to like it. They didn't like Jesus either. But God tells us to share it. And here's the deal. One of the reasons I think even as we get older, we don't share as much is because we forget that it's good news. It's good news. Proclaim the good news, not the bad news. Not the news that's just going to make everybody mad at me. The good news. This is good news. You're a sinner, but you can go to heaven if you allow Jesus to forgive you of your sins. That's good news. We should share it with everyone everywhere. This picture was taken, right after we got married. And here's what I'm going to say, is that sharing Jesus, the good news of Jesus is like, have you ever had anything you're so happy about that you can't shut up? Nobody can shut you up. When Mary and I got engaged, you couldn't shut us up. We were so excited, so thrilled that we're going to be able to get married. And we are evangelists for marriage. And this is us. And we're still that way today. Quite honestly, she's the most amazing, godly, wonderful, beautiful woman I know 31 years later. And I'll sing it from the mountaintops. I would marry her again in a heartbeat. Here's the deal. If you understand that it's good news, why wouldn't you tell people? Why would you be embarrassed? It's because you've forgotten that it's good news. Let's go to the last point here. So we've looked at the what are we going to do? We're going to tell people about Jesus. We're going to look at the why. Why? Because we love them. Number three, our method. We're going to live it. We're going to show people. Demonstrate the good news with our lives. We're going to show people what being a Christian is. Like it says in Titus, show you can be fully trusted so that in every way you will make the teaching about God attractive. Show, demonstrate, live a life that people see and go, wow, what you have, I need. That's how I got saved, is watching Scott's life in the dorms, just watching him. And I thought I was so cool on campus, and I was sinning all over the place and kind of running around thinking I was a big man on campus, and he was playing Risk at night, on Friday nights. I'm thinking, what a loser. But I watched his life and watched how he loved me and how he loved other people. And after about 4 months, I said, I need what you have. I need what you have. I knew that. He had something I didn't. He had the joy of the Lord. We got to live in front of people. Listen, men and women, the stakes are high. Heaven and hell lay in the balance in how we live and how we demonstrate the good news to people. I like what St. Francis of Assisi said. He said this. Let me go back. Preach the gospel often, if needed. Use words, right? We got to live our lives in front of people in a way that is attractive. And how do we do that? I'm just going to give you three practical things. This will end our time here. Just three practical ways. This is the how. I would suggest you design a plan to share the good news. You make plans. You make it intentional. As a church, we're very intentional. In my life, I'm very intentional to share with people. I would suggest that you pray for those around you. In fact, make a list of people that maybe don't know Christ and pray for them. Family members, people you work with, just make that, put it in your Bible, and then when you read it in the morning, I hope you're reading your Bible every day, pull it out, and pray for those people that they will come to know Christ. And here's a key. Pray that God gives you an opportunity to witness to them, to share the good news of Jesus with them. Just ask God to help you. Here's how I prayed, God, because I was a chicken. God, make it so clear there's no way I can get out of it. Bring that opportunity that there's, even if I wanted to run, I couldn't. It's right in front of me. And with my family, this picture was taken about a year and a half after I became a Christian. This is the family on my mom's side. We were pretty close back then, and I started praying for these guys. I've been praying for these guys for 40 years, some of them. And I will continue to pray. In fact, I brought my prayer list. This is my prayer list. It's got really like 7-point font. And a lot of your names are on there, so I'm not going to pass it out or anything, because I'm praying for people that are having going through hard things. A sticky note is just the things that have happened lately that people are really struggling in the hospital or need help. So I have it broken up into different categories. But one of those days, I pray for my family. It's on the front here. And I got the red ones that have gotten saved. There's about 6 of those family members right there that have gotten saved over the last 40 years. And I've shared the gospel with all of them. In fact, I sent them all a letter with a video showing me sharing the gospel, telling them, I love you too much not to share this with you. Some of them pretty much hate my guts now, just to be very honest. Think I'm so weird. They talk about me at Thanksgiving. That's their big topic. But some of them are getting saved. Pray for people. Pray for your family. And then, number 2, build bridges of listening and caring. In other words, build relationships with people, right? People, I like this little phrase, build bridges of listening and caring. This little phrase, people need to know how much you care, relationship, before they care how much you know. You could be a great Bible student, but if they don't think you care about them, they're not going to listen to you. And I'll never forget back at Iowa State, hearing a Chinese exchange student who became a Christian. Somebody asked him, how did you become a Christian? He said, well, so-and-so befriended me my first day of school classes here, and we hung around all semester, and we became good friends. Eventually, he shared the gospel with me, and then he said this, and I'll never forget it. He said, he built a bridge between my heart and his, and Jesus walked across. That's the power of a relationship. So that's the second thing. Build relationship, and finally, invite them to church. We're going to make this easy for you. You can invite them here. Everything we do is to make people feel comfortable to do it excellently. We never water down the message. We always preach the gospel. I teach on hell sometimes on Mother's Day, which is, you know, a faux pas, I guess. Shouldn't do that. But I do. We're not afraid to teach the Bible, but we do it in a way that attracts people. And we have great coffee. And we have great worship. All that is designed so you can bring your friends easily here, okay? Invite them to church. You say, well, I'm not sure if they want to come. They want to come. I'll prove it to you with a poll. Gallup in 2001 did a poll and found 61 million people currently not going to church, and asked them this. 50% of them said they're waiting for an invite. Of those 61 million, there's people out there that want to come to your church. You just have to open your mouth and invite them. So my last point, this is practical. You're going to go away. This is something you're going to be able to apply tonight. Within 10 minutes here, you're going to be able to apply this. We call it 3 before me. So when you get up to go out in the lobby or hang out here, here's what I want to recommend. Before you go run to your friends that you're comfortable with, or run, you know, maybe after you get your kids or whatnot, maybe even before you get your kids, instead of doing what you want to do, maybe just take a minute and go introduce yourself to somebody you don't know. How about 3 people? We call it 3 before me. 3 introductions before I do what I want to do, which maybe it's just you want to leave and go eat food. Before you do that, I'm going to challenge you. Meet 3 people. Just say hi. Hi, my name is Bill. I don't think we've met. Hi, my name is Bill. I don't think we've met. Hi, my name is Bill. I don't think we've met. Well, I've been coming for 20 years. That's happened to me on more than one occasion. You know, it's like, it's the mask, I'm sure. This is what I want you to do. And last thing, okay, I'm 2 minutes over. I'm trying to get to the right time here. But listen, I'm going to do something I don't normally do, and I'm not going to embarrass you. It's going to be up and down. Trust me, that's all it's going to be. If you're new, and you've been coming for less than a year since COVID happened, you've walked into this building, don't be embarrassed, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of you. I just want you to help me out and help people around you to go, wait a minute, there's people around me that are new? Yeah. If you've been coming for for about a year, no longer. Would you just stand up real quick? Just stand up. Just go ahead. Thank you. Stand up. No, stay up. Stay up for a second. I want to show everybody there are people. Stand up. Don't be embarrassed. All over the place. God bless you guys. You can sit down. See, that wasn't so bad. Meet some of these people. Amen? Let's meet them. Last summary point. I'm not going to read the verse. Summary. Let's be like Jesus, men and women. Let's be on mission. Okay? Let's be on mission. And let's not forget the immortal words of Larry Walters. You can't just sit there. Let's not just sit there. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you for this time, and I pray that you would help us be on mission, be on a mission that matters, to be telling people about Jesus, to be loving people enough to tell them, and to pray for them, to build bridges of relationship, and maybe even invite them to church. I pray that you would help us all meet three people before we leave tonight. First, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.